They heard God say, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's one who's faithful in all that he knows.
Job lost his family,
his land, and all his wealth. When he wouldn't curse God, Job lost his health."
First part of the year down in Texas, and for about 4 months we were out of the trailer trying to get that thing sold. I know many of you have been praying for that. We thank you for it. God has still not answered your prayers. I'm going to blame it on y'all. Amen. you know, you remember Paul prayed. He said, "God, I got this thorn in the flesh and I want you to take it away from me." And God said, "No." I think that's what that trailer is. Amen. And so that's just, you know, we still, if you've driven by the in the back there, we still have a for sale sign on it. Praying God will sell it. But, you know, he just hasn't, and that's fine. We just continue on. You know, we're still from time to time having trouble with it, but God's grace is sufficient, and we just thank the Lord that he'd allow us to do anything anyway. So, preacher was saying, we right now we have a list of 19 churches. don't know why God would use us. But I'm sure glad he does. We've got folks from Seattle, Washington to Jay, Maine that are asking us to come. I am amazed at that. I really am. I love it. I have to be honest. And honestly, folks, 19 churches, that's about 2 years worth of work for us. And that just amazes me. It really does, because, you know, we know we're nothing. We get that. But what really amazes me is this, that when we go in someplace, we find discouraged folks. And when we leave, somehow God has picked them up and given them a little something else just to keep on going. And we're just thankful that we're able to be there and thankful that God would allow us to somehow just be a part to help encourage churches. And I'm telling you, I have been amazed. I was telling Preacher, fundamental independent Baptists are losing a lot right now. And that's disturbing to me. And I get it, God's still in control, and I understand those things. But so many churches are letting things slip. And we intend to help churches that are soul winning, that are King James, that are separatist, that are what we are. And we need God's help. Everybody wants us there tomorrow. And we can't get there tomorrow. And so just pray that God give us wisdom on where to go and when to go there. And we've also, we were privileged to be able to be in place for Brother Minkowski for a month there. But we'll be back there a couple of times. I know he's preaching up at Cedar River camp coming up in, is it this month?
July.
He'll be preaching there, and I'll be there in Quincy. And then again, during football camp, we'll be covering for him. We've learned to love those folks, and he's got a tremendous church there, and we enjoy being there. But we'll be there in between helping churches. So if you will, just pray for us. And I want to just let you know, last week we were with Brother Coral for 3 days, Monday and Tuesday. We were there in Moline. And then here, of course, on Wednesday night, I was taking preaching lessons for... So Brother Joe's showing me his gun right now. I was going to say, for the next hour and a half, then I'll be preaching. Take your Bibles, Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Amen. All right. Once you have that, let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Exodus chapter 3. I promise I will do my best to get us out of here tonight. So I know yeah, you're right. I didn't say when. I know the campers are excited to get out to the campground, and I'm sure Brother Luke and Brother Mick are looking forward to that as well. Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. If you have that, say amen, wave at me, do something, let me know you're there. You got it? All right. The Bible says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. The bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside, see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. He said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. That's not my text tonight, but I had a fellow preaching for me one time. He preached on that. He took his shoes off about right then. And started to do his introduction, he walked down to the on the floor. I went and got his shoes and hit him. He came back and he's looking all over for his shoes. There was a little spot up under the pulpit. He's feeling all up under there. It was great. I had fun. So let me drop down to verse 9. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I'll send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I want to preach on this tonight. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. Let's pray. Father, I need your help now, Lord. It's about 8:10, and Lord, I do not want to hold folks long, but I pray that you would help me to preach the message that you've laid upon my heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you be seated. Let me quickly just say, I believe we have a picture here in Exodus chapter 3. We see Moses, we see Pharaoh, no doubt safe Pharaoh. It is a type of Satan, Egypt, the world, or Egypt, if you will, kind of the no goods that are working with Satan there, those folks that that work in our lives to hinder us, to tempt us, to really just there are spiritual entities that mess with us as Christians, and that's, I believe, a picture of the Egyptians here. Israel is a type of folks that want, that God wants delivered and saved, and I want to see Moses tonight as this, as a soul winner. I've found, folks, listen, over the last few years since Miss Debbie and I have gotten on the road, it has been amazing to me. Hebrews said this, that we're to take heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I want to preach a message tonight, very simple, very practical, but to me, I am watching as fundamental independent Baptists lose one of the things that we have been known for, one of the things that marked us as aggressive people that really cared about souls, and that is the fact of aggressive soul winning. We're losing it. We're losing it. So, might as well say amen right there, or oh me, because we're losing it. And we need to understand that, listen, God has called each one of you. How many of you are saved tonight? Let me see your hand. You're saved. You know, if you died, you're going to, amen. All right. Now, understand, yeah, you. Moses, if you would, look down there at verse 11. Moses asked the typical question of a soul winner in 2018 amongst fundamental independent Baptists. You ready for the question? Who am I that I should go? Who am I that I should go? I want to just give us a few things tonight. I want you to ask yourself that question tonight, because I believe, as understand, soul winning is not a time and a place. In other words, we have soul winning times, and I believe, you know, and I'm kind of guilty. Preacher, you've got to get this thing right. Soul winning is Thursday night. It's not Tuesday night. Amen. Everywhere we go around the nation, it's Thursday night till I come home. Then it's Tuesday night. So I run over to Nero's Giro's last night. I pull back in the parking lot and I see Brother Bragg and Brother Ira pulling out of the parking lot going soul winning. I'm going, and then I'm going to get up and preach on soul winning. Hypocrite, hypocrite, amen. So we are losing the thing of soul winning. It's folks are asking all over, who am I that I should go? And it's something that we have been known for. Something that we know is right. We have heard preaching on it time and time and time again. Yet we have big services on Sunday morning. The place is full. Sunday night, just a little bit smaller crowd. Wednesday night, the crowd's a little smaller. But man, when it comes to the soul winning service, I mean, if we just kind of have a handful. And I understand it's not just a time and a place. It is a lifestyle. I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism. I'm talking about you ought to be a soul winner in your life everywhere you go. You ought to have your pocket full of tracts. You just heard how God had used tracts. It's amazing how God will use tracts. Sometimes we don't have opportunity to stop and talk to somebody, but you can always hand them a tract. And man, we have been known for that stuff, and we are losing. We're letting that stuff slip. Won't just give us a few things. Who am I that I should go? First, go back to John chapter 15 and verse 16. It's very clear right here who it is that why it is that we ought to go. Who am I that I should go? Well, it says here in John 15:16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." That ye should, what's that next word? How about that? Who am I as I should go? Well, you're the chosen. You are the chosen. I don't know about you. When I was growing up, I know it's hard to believe now, but I was a little runt of a kid. I was. I was a little skinny, you know. That's not funny, Abby. I really was. Yeah. Uh-huh. Walk on this side. I really was. I get it. It's hard to imagine me as a little runt kid, but that's I was. I was a little bitty thing, runt of a kid. And when it, you know, they go to pick teams, and I was always the guy that they said, "You take him." No, you take him. You know, I'm telling you, I was never the guy picked. They never wanted to pick me on their team. But I like this that God said here, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Man, I made this team. And he wanted me. Can I help you tonight? Hey, he wants you on his team. Hey, when it comes down to it, he said, "Hey, I've chosen you. I need you. You're on my team." I don't know if y'all remember. I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan by any means, but back in the day when, what was that? I can't even remember his name now. Oh, my. No, it wasn't Troy Aikman. He played defense and offense. He's a smart aleck fella. I'd just describe half the Cowboys. Deion, thank you. Who said that? Yeah, amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. Deion Sanders, remember they had a commercial on TV. You know, you'd think you'd remember your own illustrations. Amen. Had a commercial on TV, Jerry Jones, asking Deion, he said, "What will it be, Deion? 15 or 20 million? Deion said, "Both." Hey. Now, look at the end of this verse. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Ye should bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Deion didn't have any idea. Did you just see what he promised if you'd go? I don't know about you, but that kind of seems like a blank check to me. I mean, God is needing and wanting, and He has chosen you for His team. And He said, look, if you come play for me, you come go for me, He said, I'll take care of you. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good promise to me. And can I say this? I have found God to be faithful in His promises. His integrity is still intact. Amen. He's never failed in a promise. And the truth is that, folks, that you and I, listen, not to be arrogant before God, but you and I can, when we obey, we can go to God and claim those promises. And He said, every promise is yea and amen. He said, yes, and so be it. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times that I need to claim that promise. And I've found this, as long as I keep going, God keeps taking care of us. Second thing I see, Matthew chapter 28, we already know the verses. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. I want us to see here several things. It is a command. Not only are we chosen, folks, simply it is a command that you go. You've not been asked. You've been told. And can I say that who has told us here is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I read one place that said that He is the great potentate. I like that word. He's a potentate. I mean, it's not optional whether we go or not. That word, look at it again in verse 20. Teaching them, there's two words there. You see that? Teaching them, what's the next two words? What is it? To observe. See, that's not to see or view. See, that's to do. To do. See, if all we do is teach, then Christianity is nothing but a philosophy. See, we're called to be doers of the word, not hearer only. And too many of us now are just hearers. We know it's right. We'll hear the preaching on soul winning, and we'll say amen. But we still don't have a track, and we still neglect to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a lifestyle for us. And can I say, our nation's in spiritual trouble because we have backed off. You listen to me. There is a lack of faithful, fruitful Christians. What I mean is this, a Christian that is producing other Christians. Let me get you to think with yourself. When is the last time that you had somebody here as a visitor that you had talked to, you won them to Christ, you brought them to church, and invitation time, walked them down the aisle, told the preacher, hey, so-and-so got saved, come to get baptized. And when's the last time you did that? See, it does. It hurts, doesn't it? Because we're not doing that. By the way, we used to do it. I'm talking about Fundamental Independent Baptists. We used to do it. Man, Brother Rice would have a Sword of the Lord conference. It wasn't preaching all morning. He'd load you up on a bus and let's go soul winning. We got away from that. Soul winning is not what it used to be to us. He said, go, what's in verse 9 there? What's the second word? Y'all help me. Go what? What is it? Ye. Now, for those that have a problem with King James, I know it's tough to understand that old English. That is a proper pronoun, or personal pronoun, excuse me, not proper, personal pronoun. And it just simply means you. Go you. It's a command. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Here's where I think part of our failure is. Ephesians chapter 4. See, if we're going to go, if we've been chosen, we've been commanded, then I believe we ought to be trained. We ought to be trained. Now, look in Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Look down to verse 11 with me. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, not going to tarry there, but those offices are no longer in effect. And some evangelists, that's fellows like me. And some pastors, that's our pastor, Brother Angel. And teachers, that's not only our pastor, but I believe those fellows like Brother Payne and others that are involved in our Sunday school programs and such. Why did he give those? He said, for the perfecting of the saints. Let me, you know, a lot of times we look at that word perfecting and we kind of think this, well, it's maturing or equipping. Let me give you a little, a little better definition. To bring to a high level of skilled ability. To bring to a high level of skilled ability. That's my job. It's to help to bring you to a high level of skilled ability. Why? Well, he goes on, he said it's for the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? Well, it's soul winning. It's soul winning. Why? He said, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We a lot of times we take that and we will use that in a spiritual sense, which is right. Edifying is to build up, and we think of building up, encouraging, so on. Can I say it's not just a spiritual building up, but it is also a physical building up. It's your job to help fill these pews up. It's not just the preacher's job. It's not just the staff's job. And I see it all over the nation as we get out helping small churches that it's just the pastor and his wife and maybe his family that are going out soul winning. Folks, and thank God that this church is not like that, but can I say, there's still a lot that's just letting that slip. Just letting that slip. I want us to understand that we must have trainers. It's like this. Stop and think about it for a minute. Man, one of the biggest things that hinders us in our soul winning is this. It's fear. I teach it everywhere. Fear is a factor. Fear is a factor. Can't get away from it. I've been winning souls for over 30 years, and I'm telling you, I still get nervous at that first door. I do. Maybe you're different, but I just do. But I want you to understand that it so captivates, bounds so many people. They're scared. It's not that they're ashamed. It's that they're scared because they don't know what to say. Y'all know what scared is, don't you? That's one of them southern words, you know, you're afraid. Yeah. And Satan uses that just to keep us from doing what we know we ought to be doing. But listen, if we'd do this, train people what to say. How to say it. By the way, that was Paul's method. He said over there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, he said, how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you and talked you publicly and from house to house. I believe he had a threefold method of training people. He'd do this. First, he'd show them in a public demonstration. He'd sit down with somebody else and go through a demonstration showing how to lead a soul to Christ. Then he said, I'd teach you publicly. And again, in a classroom session to teach things like all sinners are like green beans. Y'all have heard that, right? Amen. Everybody, all sinners are. Okay, well, let me explain. You go down here to, what's Kroger down here, and you go to the vegetable aisle, and there's cans of green beans there. You got Del Monte, Green Giant. Libby's and some Kroger brand, but you open that can up, what's on the inside? What is it? Green beans. This is the point, folks. People wear all kind of labels, but they're all the same on the inside. And the Bible says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. See, what the world needs is the gospel. And listen, what is the gospel? Y'all help me. What's the gospel? What? Death, burial, resurrection. We have started leaving the resurrection out of our soul winning, and that's where the power is. That's where the power is. Listen, there's a lot of nuts dying in the name of religion today. We need to separate Jesus from that. He is not a nut, and He did not just die for religion. He died so that we might be cleansed from all sin. And listen, His resurrection did this. It proved He had victory over sin and death, and thereby He and He alone can forgive sin. Huh? We need that in our soul winning. We need to tell them not just that they can be saved but because He died on that cross, but listen, that He rose again that third day. Hey, listen, we need to get back to old-fashioned faith and repentance. Teach people that, hey, to be saved, you need to stand guilty before God. If you're not guilty before God, what reason do you have to get saved? We need to help them to understand. And listen, we've gotten away from a salvation that changes lives. We just want a salvation that gets them into heaven. I don't know about you. I got tired of that 1, 2, 3, pray after me, and they pray a prayer, and then you never see them again. I got problems with that crowd. I do. You look at me like I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, listen, the day I got saved, nobody had to beg. I got saved on Monday morning. Nobody begged me to go to church on Wednesday night, yet I was there. I knew. I mean, things had changed. I was saved. Saved people go to church. And I like the kind of salvation that you can look and there's some fruit. Amen? Let me move on hurriedly. We need training. Let me close with this. This is the thing. Who am I that I should go? Well, I'm chosen. I'm commanded. I need to be trained. But listen, this is the thing. I believe we don't believe the command can be accomplished. See, it says this, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Brother Scott, that's 2 billion. 7.5 billion people alive on planet Earth. How in the world can we reach 7.5 billion people? Well, let me help you. Number one, one person at a time. Just one person at a time. There may be times that, and you know, that we have mass, that we have a meeting and we have a lot saved. I remember back in earlier days, man, when I was coming up in church, even though I wasn't saved, I during the invitation, there'd be folks from one end of the building to the other lined up the front there, folks getting saved. We don't see that much anymore. But I know this, God's still in the saving business. We're still here, so He's still in soul-saving business. And we need to get, listen, and the command can be accomplished. And it said, and the folks in Jerusalem believed it could to this point. It said this, that they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Filled Jerusalem. I wonder if we could say Bourbon A is filled with our doctrine. Bradley or Kankakee is filled with our doctrine. I don't think we can say that. By the way, I believe God's love proves His intent in the command being fulfilled. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He said that greater love hath no man than this, a man lay down his life for his friend. See, God's love, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Excuse me, I believe He intends for the command to be accomplished. See, God wants every boy, every girl, every man, every woman to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Now, everybody that we talk to ain't going to get saved. We know that. And we wish that wasn't true, but that's the case. It must be time to quit. I'm starting to cough. Point is this. We're letting it slip. Ask yourself honestly, when's the last time I told somebody about Jesus? When's the last time? I'm afraid far too many of us are guilty. And because of it, people are dying and going to hell. And folks out there are hurting. See, Satan's blinded them. The gospel's hid from them. Remember when it was hid from you? You didn't care. You thought those church folks were crazy. You'd say in your mind, man, just leave me alone. Remember that? Well, that's how they are. They're hurting, they're abused, they're wounded. But there's something down in here that God put an emptiness that only He can feel. And it's our job to tell them what it is. Let's stand at our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Let me ask you tonight first, are you saved? I'm not asking, are you a church member? Not asking if you've been baptized. Not asking if you've had some fuzzy feeling. I'm asking, do you know for sure if you died today? You've trusted Christ as your Savior. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up in the air? Preacher, I'm saved, no doubt about it. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anybody tonight, be honest, you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died, I don't know for sure. Heaven's my home. Would you pray for me? I want to pray for you, please. I want you to get saved tonight, but I want to pray for you. Is there anybody like that? You just slip your hand up good and high so I can see a preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. All right. How many of you would say tonight you'd be honest with God, preacher? I might be guilty. Or preacher, I want to be a better soul winner. I want God to give me more boldness and courage in my soul winning. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up all over the house? My hand's up. Father, please, tonight, I pray you'd take the message. Use it. Lord, you know its intended purpose. God, please, speak to hearts. Use the invitation now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. As the music plays, you come.